Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
This is another podcast while walking. I'm going to deal with the interesting topic of Dettol. Dettol is an antiseptic, sort of one of the world's great medicines. That's available for all of us to use, and it's called Dettol. So the World Health Organization has identified this as one of the key essential medicines that have made our modern world a safer, cleaner place, and should be elevated to be available to all people as part of, civilization. And I'm going to give a general talk about it. Now, what's giving a little bit of background, giving a podcast while doing a cardiac rehab walk. So, hopefully, I've still got a way to go in terms of getting fitness up, but I'm also going to get the weight down. Now, there's an aspect to Dettol. There's a molecule, there's a bit of quantum physics, quantum physics, chemistry associated with it. Which is quite interesting. So I'll go through the molecule and the actual, where the atoms are, where the electrons are, its behaviour and how it operates. But there's a little bit of a backstory to this in terms of this friend, came and said, "Oh, look, although I may be following directions, I'm exercising stupidly. That is, you're supposed to exercise for only 20 minutes at a time, or so many hours as specified, promulgated down, and you've realised that exercise is good, so you decide to do too much. My ex-husband, he did a similar thing. He reasoned that Dettol was good, and he put too high a concentration on my daughter and caused her to have burns. So, as he's clearly stupid, and so are you. You are clearly stupid. You have to really understand that there's all this folk medicine, folk belief, that it's folk okay to just go off directions given by people and you don't go by things, and it's all okay to just waltz in and actually say that you are stupid because my husband is stupid because he did a stupid thing, and he wasn't able to read the label. And he over-reasoned and basically did a stupid thing and injured my child. I've got rid of him, and that's the end of it. That's the general interest here. Now, the interesting thing is I was listening to this, and obviously if you're under sort of massive broadside attack, you can't do too much, but... my interest was that she said that Dettol was acidic, and I sort of thought about the molecule in Dettol and said, look, I think I'd be surprised if it was acidic. But I didn't say that to her, but there's a whole series of things that didn't make sense. Sort of coming into this, as I've said to various people, there is this folk knowledge. We were told in the past that this, I was told by so-and-so, which you can't access, that this was acidic. It's very acidic. It's very dangerous. This is other people trying to say, oh, look, I've read the health and safety warnings and the indications and stuff. None of this is at all true. It's not that the husband is stupid in this case. the actual person relying on folk medicine and folk belief. So there is a folk belief that ditol is highly acidic, and that if you apply it in full concentration, that you will, it will cause burns. And I don't think this holds out. And what's interesting is that there's this folk belief, folk medicine. Folk belief is a belief which is not founded scientifically. It's founded by a society of people's belief something is said somewhere, and it's not quite clear where it's from, but so-and-so said it, and it must be true. Now, it's time to let's get into the molecule of ditol, and let's see if we can understand what is acidic, what's going on, and get a little bit deep into it. So there's that sort of background to it. Here is the conflict that you're listening into. And this is probably from the two long-term viewpoints. So now, if you look at the folk beliefs go back many, many years. Yet, if there's a quick belief, and the folk belief comes in, and it's there, and you believe it instantly, and you move on, and people who are against it are excluded. Now, so that's a short impact, long gestation period, whereas sort of scientific understanding is sort of opposite many times, in terms of there's a deep understanding, and the understanding takes a little while to kick in, and it requires an environment which supports a longer time length. So folk beliefs come in, blast, run away, and don't come back. You at any point, you can't be proven wrong, because you just never admit it. And so there's that long-term belief, a very short execution, whereas scientific belief takes a lot of understanding, a lot of movement, there's a lot of subtlety with it. Okay, so let's get back to ditol. Ditol's a fairly simple molecule to describe. Now, basically, I'll describe it structurally. So it's a antiseptic, and there's a basic benzene ring with things added onto it on atoms 1, 2, 4, and 6. I just got to work that out, because that's 1, 2, 4, 6, yeah, going around. It's sort of hard. There are six atoms in there. Now, the all important thing about once you get a benzene ring, the circle of carbons, six carbons all in a circle, you remove hydrogens from this ring and add electrons. So normally a carbon has four electrons to play with. In this case, it uses only three for bonding and one for a sort of a double bond, an extra bond. So there's actually a little pool of electrons in this ring. So if you can imagine a ring, like a plate, a dinner plate, and there's or tortilla, let's say that. Here, and it's rather than having its electrons out there, two electrons, 12 bonds, there's less bonds, there's actually a bond on the inside. If you imagine sort of a cream of electrons on top and a cream of electrons on the bottom, and these are delocalized electron orbitals. So amazing, you can make something which looks a little bit like a metal out of pure organic materials. Now, a metal is something which has got excess electrons, and you can make this carbon ring that's got an excess of electrons. In fact, a full example is that the carbon in this complete form of black rose circles of six forms this, you can form it into a sheet, and this sheet conducts like a metal, conducts electricity and conducts heat like a metal, because you've got the extra electrons. So what we have to say is that a metal is something which has got additional electrons, whereas a non-metal, like chlorine, absorbs or takes in electrons, and we'll go into a bit later on. So initially, immediately, you have this object. Now, if you need to know a little bit about, because normally what people do in chemistry is that they have a stick figure, and it's enough to understand bonds. But to understand that these are bonds, sort of double bonds, electron-rich bonds, creates a sea of electrons above and below this carbon ring of six. And really, Dehol is one of these, a water-soluble mixture of this, of these rings, these little metal rings which go around and damage gram-positive, that is, bacterial cell walls, but not the cell walls of humans. Okay? So, bacteria, those are much more primitive, hard-walled things, and human cells are sort of soft cell walls, a bit like poached egg, sort of soft, and they do have structures inside them, but they're protected inside. So the actual cell itself protects itself from the action of dirt or detol. So all this quantum mechanical stuff going in, saying, no, incorrect, with the mold, as they talk, the molecule comes up in your view, and you start to say, oh, does this person understand how detol works? And do they understand when they say it is a powerful acid? Do they understand what a powerful acid is? And we haven't got there yet. As I said, detol has this chemical, and I wish I could remember the name of the chemical. And in this chemical, we've got the six carbons and six hydrogens on the outside. And so this is hydrogen poor, electron rich. It's sort of like a sandwich which is absolutely, it's a biscuit with sort of cream, electron cream on the bottom. It's sort of super creamy because it's got all that stuff which is to go on the outside of the biscuit, on the inside of the biscuit. Now, as we go along, we're going to add certain things to it. So, if you can imagine a hexagon in this case, sometimes I sit hexagons with a flat edge on the bottom of the page or sitting on a table. If you can imagine a hexagon up there, flat edge. So the hexagons can be aligned in several ways. They can be aligned in front of you, they can be flat bottom edge, parallel to your shoulders, sort of flat way, or they can be rotated around, I suppose it must be 60 degrees, such that the apex is pointing towards you. So if you're holding the hexagon, like a plate in front of you, someone bumps into you, that edge can hit you. Now, the top far away edge, we're going to call atom number 1, 2, 3, 4 is the dirty one, 5, 6, and 6 connects back up to 1 going around. Now, in terms of computer science, there's a huge problem here. Let's say that I'm conducting the mad, I suppose, dedicated rehab, so they're dedicated to improve brain power, but also dedicated to increase your stamina, and dedicated to keep on knocking weight down. So I'll go into if you. I've got to remind myself to mention about weight at the final. I might do a second podcast on this. So we've got this atom, so this set of six atoms, which is your generic starting point. It's called an aromatic ring, and this ring of carbon is just so essential in building carbon things, because it's sort of got, if electrons can move along it, it's not quite at the bottom of many little dives. If this sort of conducting layer is really important, double bonds are really important. So it's the red, the aromatic compounds are not in carrots and tomatoes, these colourful things, but the same principles there, that the electrons are able to be slightly conductive on the carbon, in this case, in carotene and other molecules like that, they form an antenna. And indeed, these phenols form an antenna, and in fact, this flat ring with the electrons pulled around form an antenna and is all that rich red colour. So, now whether that red colour, and again, whether that red colour can actually cause a permanent stain is yet another thing, because once that chemical is changed, it can no longer colour. So it's not a dye, a stable dye. So this is again going through. You've got these folk evidence, and of course, your low weight folk knowledge is used. It has only one use. It has only used to do damage. It hasn't got no physical use. It's got no therapeutic use. It's got no cognitive use. My God, there's a huge spider hanging out here. My heart side is improved as well. So the idea is that you just bring fact together, someone told me, and then pull it together and just start shooting and doing damage with it. That's my only belief in the origin of folk knowledge is for people to control other people. It's not about controlling the environment or making rational decisions. It's about exerting control on other people. But let's get back to this. So your ring, that ring gives you colour and detol. And going from it, unless that ring gets incorporated, that colour can't actually do anything. The colour's great because you can see, it's great because you can see the dilution and all that type of stuff. And if I can say the let's do the MDS sheets. MDS sheets, bad for cats, bad for cane toads, they don't say actually cane toads, and they say recommend not to put the neat solution on, but it doesn't say anything about the acidity, and of course there is nothing to do, it's actually not acidic, it's like basic, really get into it. But we've got this molecule in front of you, one at the front, number four is poking in. So at number one, you put a chlorine, and I'll have a little bit of chlorine, so you break off the hydrogen, and then you put the chlorine. Now the chlorine, this is something a little bit interesting to note, that the chlorine will bind with it, and it's sort of a shared bond, molecular bond. So a ionic bond is where the electron is wholly in one species, making that species charged. The other species, the opposite charge, plus and minus in the ionic thing. There's a covalent bond, is where the electron is resonance between two positive charges of the two nuclei. So it acts as the glue. It spends a fraction of the time not sighted on one nucleus, but it's actually in between the scribellum. And there's sort of a general understanding that that indeed is a very cold taught. The chlorine is different, but it is the most, it has the highest electron affinity of any element. So, and that electron affinity is a concept, again, not taught at school, but a very important concept. It says that a neutral species plus an electron, if you add an electron, forms a more stable charged species. Now, the initial view is that perhaps a charged species, a negative charge or positive charged species, is less stable. But indeed, if you add an electron to, you have an electron floating around, and if you've got a neutral chlorine, that electron will be in a low energy state if it goes into the chlorine. And the reason is that the chlorine is neutral. If it's got, the idea comes to mind, 17 protons, 17 neutrons. I just can't, 135, 35, that's about right. So just digging through my brain. And so you've got 17 protons, 17 electrons, therefore the most stable one you would think would be 17 protons, which is fixed, and 17 electrons. That's actually more stable than 18 electrons. Go figure, sure, the electrons would repel each other, but they don't. In fact, the idea of repelling doesn't work in the dimensionality of quantum mechanics, because the electrons actually float through each other. They can't see each other. They can actually fold themselves into a different symmetry, so they can't be sent at close range. So at close range, chlorine seems neutral from certain angles, but at particular angle, it's got a weak spot of positive field, and the electron can drop in. So that is chlorine neutral plus an electron, plus chlorine minus releases a large amount of energy. And in fact, this reaction is the most fundamental energy release. It's this fundamental aspect of chemistry. And it's one thing that you need to understand chemistry. It's one thing that you need to support electrical affinity. So, however, number one, you add in chlorine, the hydrogen gets pulled off. So typically a hydrogen-carbon bond is a bond where the electron spends a lot of time between the proton and the carbon nucleus. Both are charged, negative inside there. This one is more ionic in character, in that the electron is pulled inside the chlorine and releases energy as it does so. Creating a positive charge and the overall negative charge ionic character. Then, moving out, we have on either side two methyl groups on number 2 and 6. So these are on the, just gone facing away from here, the pointy stuff to you, the pointy stuff to the west of chlorine. And those two vertices, left and right, furthest away from you, are stuck to methyl group. Now, a methyl group is just basically a methane of hydrogen. It's got with hydrogen on it, so now needs an electron to bond with, so it actually bonds directly with carbon ring. Now, this is interesting, what it does in terms of charge cloud around there and how it can actually center and direct the charge and allow oscillations, wave oscillations inside these two metal rings. It also increases the wave. And what it does for me is it's part of creation of a chemical that bacteria cannot cope with. A chemical that bacteria cannot cope with that is an antiseptic. This one is a chemical which is safe for humans, and that gives us a bacteria. So it's sort of fun. Now, one of the things you have to understand is that there's many ideas associated with that. You know, what concentration kills is not necessary. So any high concentration will eventually irritate the eye, unusual mechanisms. Okay, so we've got this end. This is for chlorine. It's actually pulling electrons away. But the way it does it is moderated by these metal groups inside. Then on the number four part, you have a hydroxide group, which is an O and an H. And that there and there tells you the entire molecule. So it's going over a benzene ring, aromatic ring, number one chlorine, number two metal, number four hydroxide, number six metal again. Symmetric, flat, solid molecule, highly soluble. OH means it's a sort of an alcohol, so that's like all. And it means that this will be slightly oily, but it's got an alcohol acid on it. So it actually dissolves in water, dilutes in water and alcohol. So the alcohol will interact, it won't necessarily kill bacteria, alcohol won't kill bacteria. It will dry, or alcohol will kill bacteria to affect the environment, won't directly kill bacteria. So the dissol is slightly different from alcohol. So what often happens is that you get a area and you put isopropanol, which is very, fairly simple, but that also evaporates without affecting. So ethanol is not necessarily unburned. Rubbing isopropanol, very similar in terms of the structure of it. It isn't the alcohol, but it's similar to rubbing alcohol. It's still like a combination of rubbing alcohol and a package which bacteria can't cope with. So the important thing is that alcohol can sort of destroy the neighborhood conditions for it, where Dettol actually goes and actually destroys the cell walls by bacteria. So that's important where it is. So the idea is to have a low concentration over a large area, such that if it's more salty, infection increasing. Now, obviously, biology is quite complicated. What I want to talk about is about, so you can look at this and you can say, this molecule, the molecule above it is a little bit metallic, and metallic thing plus water, that's a bit basic. Without too much logic. So you've got acids and bases. Now, the classic acid is a hydrogen plus a non-metal, like hydrochloric acid, or H2SO4, sulfuric acid. So things are non-metal and a hydrogen. Now, that's one way of saying acid. In fact, there's actually been historically about five ways of talking about an acid, and only the three sort of middle ones are the ones that we use in schools and common knowledge. The first one is a bit more phenomenological. And what happens is that we go to understand it that the first way of describing it is folk, and what's happened is the folk use of folk knowledge has been sort of, science has moved away, and folk knowledge has been left in the hands of these people who apply it in this destructive way. But let's go into it. You can see from the outset, so something which is basically it's like sodium hydroxide, the OH. So the stuff which is hooked on, so you can look at the OH being hooked into the molecule, or you can look at the molecule being hooked into the OH. So it makes something really basic, metals in the OH, and so you get a metal, and so what essentially it does is metals, and these things donate electrons. That's the Lewis thing, electron donator. Water creates a base. So something which sucks electrons away, like chlorine, will be acidic. But you can look at it here, so it's rather than metal, that molecule up there has got a metallic character, so it's got excess electrons. And those excess electrons get caught inside the oxygen. It no longer wants to suck off its, or pull off its electrons from the hydrogen, so that proton is taken out of the business. So this is the entire thing. Sodium hydroxide, you're replacing the hydrogen with something which gives off electrons and more, and then it means that the other hydrogen is not released as much. So essentially start to pull out protons from the solution, which makes it acidic. And the dipole has got a pH slightly lower than water. Okay. So that's got a pH slightly lower than water. It's slightly basic. It's not acidic at all. It's not a strong acid. It's not a weak acid. It's not acidic at all. It's actually basic. It's the opposite of acid. So immediately when someone says, oh, this all gave my child an acid burn, you go, initially, if you've got the molecule appearing in front of you as they speak, you say, oh, look at that. But initially, if you're dealing against folk knowledge and the person trying to attack you for doing too much exercise, as I suggested, that I'm now reached a point going down here, you're not going to say, oh, well, look, I think you're wrong, simply because of the metallic melt nature of the lithium structure makes me think that it's going to be basic, but I'll have to check it up first. Hold everything, and let me do that. Obviously, that's not going to work in that folk, person attacking. You're not going to win that way. But let's go in. It is basic, and you ought to see that if you have things, so essentially our experience of acid and base is usually water, and an acid, the oxygen, is hungry for electrons. Okay, water is H2O. Now, the misconception is that H2O, that each water molecule has got, so it's very big. So let's see. I don't, there's shadows here, so it looks like this. What's oxygen doing? Well, oxygen, chlorine has one quantum mechanical direction in which an electron is at lower energy. It's called an electron affinity. So go to your periodic table, then our periodic table, click on electron affinity, and you'll suddenly see the periodic table come up, and start to break into four periodic tables. So the key thing to understand is that this electron affinity will appear four times in the S, the P block, which we're looking at, and F, which you'll see this electron reappear four times. So this is a quantum mechanical aspect. And you'll see the periodic table quantum mechanical. But oxygen's different. It can actually take two electrons, and the electrons actually go through it. The closest that you get to school is to say, oh, look, it's got the electron cloud. The electron cloud can pull its flame. So the important thing is that if you feed, if you satiate oxygen's need for electrons, like any metal oxide, any metal, a lot of electrons are in it, it will no longer call for other protons. Now, the birds took out an acid that you can actually make an acid, obviously. You can make acids by sticking a lot of non-metals together. So if you stick a lot of non-metals together, if the non-metals are short of electrons, then so a big pump of non-metals will be really short of electrons. They'll pull those electrons and create protons that create or tend to want the electrons. They want the electrons, they don't want the protons. We call proton donors. So there's these three zones. So you can make an organic acid by having a carbon with two oxygens stuck to it. And those two oxygens are hungry for electrons. And what they'll do is they'll electrons out of solution to satiate themselves. And you will see your acid often is H plus carbon with two oxygens, which typically expressed as COOH2, which is a C bond, and that will often be 2 minus with an H plus, like that. That's what C acid. This is the opposite here. You don't have if there was another oxygen on a ring, or an oxygen, I don't know how you probably have oxygen in the ring, something like that, you could make it an acid, but clearly the chemical association doesn't make that very acidic. It's very interesting to work out how this molecule operates. So let's go here. So this is so if you have an oxygen and you add a metal to it, you will make it basic. And so the other way is you chuck a lump of magnesium into hydrochloric acid, and it will that magnesium, any metal oxide or a metal hydroxide, will form a basic salt. And any non-metal with water will form an acid, like sulfuric acid or nitric acid is one example. Nitric acid is a really fascinating one. Okay. Nitrogen itself is an amazing molecule because it has no electron affinity. That is, it doesn't get a benefit from it. And so the complexity of using nitrogen, because nitrogen is actually very unreactive, but when you do make a chemical, it feels unstable. So nitrates are quite difficult to make, simply because nitrogen is not a very good chemical to make things with. So when you make something which is unstable, it carries a lot of energy with it. So your protein, your diet, and stuff like that. So let's really dig in to the causeway here, and again, it's part of those strange. Now, one of the strange things is, I should say, that I've been in military training, where you have to actually get get a group of people to just keep on pushing harder and harder and stuff. And when they're good, it makes them better, and you add to their training different things. And this is interesting again, in that you train them physically, but also to be loading magazines while running, and then eventually you just add, keep on adding up to it. So this is one of the strange things, is that the fact that I've been in training. Okay, getting back to this, let's look at, and so you can see heuristically, that is common inspection, that Detholm is in the specific. But let's go further into actions, and there's three current levels. They're not contradictory levels, but more sophisticated levels. That is, the first thing will allow you to go, you know, make some basic things that's easy to learn. The second one allows you to recognize the equation of equilibrium. The third one allows you, what I'm doing, the Lewis electron stuff, is to washing with the electrons is much easier to actually get back to the species. So the first one is the Arrhenius one. It says that an acid is anything which creates a high pH and produces a high concentration of free protons in it. Now, the importance of protons, and we should stop with this, the importance of protons is that a proton is a chemical with no electrons. So a proton, unlike anything else, has this ability to penetrate, move. So it's billion times smaller, more than 10 billion times, 10,000 times smaller. This is it's 100 and something picometers. So you've got nanometers. So nanometers is a billion. A picometer is a trillion. And so a picometer is really small, but it's just underneath a nanometer. So there's about 10 atoms per nanometer, something like that, 3 atoms per nanometer. So you can pick it. Picometers. But the femtometer is thousands of times smaller, and it's very powerful. So your hydrogen is really, your proton is really as important as your electron chemical bonding. That is, your proton is the stuff which sticks the zipper inside of your DNA together. And again, this chemistry, we've got this propensity for a whole lot of folk ideas to get and contaminate our chemistry teaching. So we tend to teach, we don't focus on we don't focus on quantum mechanics, we don't focus on electron affinity, which is right down there, the sweet spot of quantum mechanics, and we tend to just throw protons away. Now, there are difficult to deal with, but they're very much there in acid base and biology. The proton is important, and your electron affinity and your ion and your dipole moments of your molecule, how that the molecule relates or attacks or actually takes response to the dipole field. This is not your standard school chemistry. Don't forget to take your quantum mechanics. Will definitely getting up. So your Arrhenius, which is, well, we're going to say there's a zeroth way, which is Lavoisier saying that certain chemicals made acids, certain things that did certain things, and he said oxygen makes an acid, and that is oxyacid makes it. This gas makes an acid. Okay, so this is zero. This is the first one. This is the ice has got no ice. Can we use that to basically say this? And so right away, looking at the different one, it's got OH sitting up there. It's acting as an alcohol. But if you add a metal to it, even alcohol, it's going to be basically like lime. Still, you can imagine, well, it would be very difficult to get a burn on that one. So that's the basic ones, and then you've got an acid plus a base, gives a salt plus water. That is Arrhenius' story. And struggle to get them right, and they resort to folk teaching, and indeed, your folk knowledge is what kids are exposed to. The next one is the Lowry Browns Bronsted one, which says that an acid donating the hydrogen. Now, donates the hydrogen, sort of like an economy of turning around, and it goes up there. Now, this gives you conjugate bases, says that it's not a strict definition, and that's just the base. You can put more acid in. So, this gives you some of the ideas. Oh, sorry. Some of the things I'm so exhausted. So, just, I'll go on the wait for a minute at the end. We've got the Arrhenius, which is your seven stuff, and then Lowry Browns, probably 10, sorry, instead, up to your 11. And the idea here is that you ask them to base a declarative explanation stuff. Good God. What are these people doing? They're having a party going up. Brigham, they're absolutely daring. It's a push truck at night is dangerous. If you ask me, okay, well, it's dangerous, but it's not sure. Okay, so you've got the Lowry Bronson one. And the important thing here is that you've got conjugate. So an acid plus a base goes to a base plus an acid. Conjugate acid plus conjugate base. And that is the opposite thing. So what you can actually do is that you can now, seeing this, you can see curves and titration curves and putting things like buffers in Coke and cooking a lot of chemicals, polyvalent, act as buffers. It's important to the chemistry. I think taste something that you can actually draw out the flavors as your mouth changes the acidity of things and changes the buffer. Takes the acidity at a certain range. Oh, there's a whole lot of things, a lot of chemistry which happens with allowing browns to bronze at once. Now, in this one, Dettol is a base, and it's that ring chlorine methyl blank OH. OH can form another H. The two H's there are positive, and then around, so you can actually the proton receptor, and so Dettol itself is a base, but once it's taken its proton, it turns into a relative acid. So it's a relatively complex way of doing it, and indeed what makes it so difficult is that we have a folk way of explaining things, and hopefully when I get the wireless smart thing, this this will be a bit more apparent. But this, Larry Bronsted sort of explains things sort of halfway. You can compare things and you can start to tell you to write down equations. So, the first arena is you can balance equations and recite rules. The next one is you can start to say what if, look at equations, not steps, be more negotiation. But one after that one is the Lewis. So going back, Dettol plus a H plus is a conjugate acid. We'll make a conjugate acid. So, Dettol itself, well, that's the base, it could actually neutralize a more powerful base, right, by setting hydrogens off. So, compared to sodium hydroxide, say if someone had lime, put their hand in lime, it's going to light them. You could put water on it to dilute it, put an acid vinegar to neutralize it, or you could put dip on compared to sodium hydroxide, potassium hydroxide is a an acid, so it's a compared to water, compared to humans, Dettol is not an acid, and it's a base, and compared to water is a base. Compared to human blood, it's actually neutral, because the pH is like slightly base here. I've been hurt. Someone said that I've not liked it, or in general things, because I've been called you stupid. You're contradicting me, instead of calling me stupid. Of course, you don't want to go down that area and that's the entire thing with folk, non-scientific folk knowledge, is that the thing good. So if you have completely useless and knowledge, the only way that you can maneuver is to put social energy with it. And so, well, this is where it goes forward. No one is prepared to actually listen. They say, cut to the chase. Are you calling me stupid? What is your rank? Because I've used finally to call you stupid in a story. So if you want to come back, I can. They immediately resort to more folk tactics and strategies. And the long line is that while this is the way of the world, or throughout time, ever since humans have evolved social interactions, this is the way it is. We are at a new age of these more sophisticated ideas and habits which don't work with them. And as you can see, I've just been putting explanations and facts to get there. And the things I don't know, I say, well, I have to check up for all this, whereas the folk knowledge is you've got to have social impact immediately. You can't allow people to work things out or display things. But this last area of acid is the Lewis electron. So Arrhenius is an acid, is a proton donor. So again, I don't think so. I think you can, sort of begin to clue things as I show people quantum mechanical devices. They say, oh, I don't know what quantum mechanics is. Just walk off. Well, at a certain point in time, randomly, you're going to say, I don't know what something is, and it's going to be the key to knowledge going forward. I suggest that quantum mechanics is one of those things. And the general general people who, general thesis is that people are addicted to this folk knowledge way of thinking will have a way of thinking which means that they don't stop and say, why don't I understand this? I need some time to understand it. Now, my incursion into quantum physics is both random and possibly a personality thing, saying, oh, I don't understand it. It's not because someone else is stupid. It's not because someone else has not explained it to me. It's not because of all these external social factors. I physically need more maths and more time to crack this problem. Now, the majority of people just don't do that. They have a story of someone who mistreated them at school, some external factor, and this. Don't do that. And then they, once they've made that excuse, they keep on making it way into late life. It's someone else. I felt excluded, therefore I excluded. It's sort of a tip to that, where ignorance is a great winner. So here, once you start to know the wave functions and the electron affinities, you can start to put it together in a molecule, and so rather than have someone affirm you and give you a ceremony and give you a gong, you can actually put it into a supercomputer and actually watch the molecule draw electrons around itself to behave. And that's the way to understand something. You do it, you put it in a supercomputer, you watch it, and there's sort of static chemical watching. And you can watch a molecule draw chemicals out. And what it does is a physical thing. When Dettol kills a bacteria, it's not because the bacteria has been told by a professor that it is an antiseptic. It's not because of all this folk knowledge. It's because of the actual electron drawing key and actually breaks the bacteria cell wall. That's what Dettol does. So I don't know that I can make it at all concerned, because when the bacteria doesn't understand what's going on, however, someone who's listening to this, skeptical, say, I haven't understood this, I will accept that I have understood it. If there's a professor I trust in my ring who doesn't upset me and reaffirms my social status, I later all these things, I'll accept that I have understood. Well, yes, but have you understood it? Because you would not be able to take your knowledge the next step forward into another area. So this is very much declarative knowledge to get through. So it's a real hard track. I don't think I'm, I don't know, am I in a new section? I seem to be alone doing it. But sort of looking at the strategy going forward. And of course, if this is the strategy of a long podcast, there may be three or four people who pick up the quantum mechanics of Dettol. And maybe in 100 years, 1,000 years time, the folk knowledge will eventually recede. And I think digital cards and human interactions disappearing, but it's the folk knowledge which is disappearing. I hope not in the the I suppose the next thing to do is look at are you by pushing yourself and exercising, are you doing something stupid? Because there is no, obviously I've been in consultation with people, but people outside don't know what I've been told, and if they've been told something by the doctors, or they've heard something, then you're not conforming with that. I don't acknowledge you're stupid. There's really nothing you can do about that. However, you can say, is this effective? I don't know. Is this definitely building up? And what has happened is that, say, I've got target weight of 82, and I'm down from 94 to 89. That's 3 months of absolute determined effort on all these fronts. So one is, I suppose, well, first off, it's a correct measurement of weight. Eventually, I had to ditch my extremely cheap $10 scale, one of the third scale, which actually works, so I could monitor it. Then, weigh yourself eventually at the same time every day. So that takes some fluctuations out so you can see where you're going. And then, calorie output, and then just physically, look, this is my quantum mechanics, this is not quantum mechanics, this is scientific way, but calorie input, intake and output, such your output, the higher in a way, which is sustainable. So in this case, put the calorie output high, if I can sustain an hour bike riding, exercise bike riding, or stuff, I'll try and just push that up an hour. There's sort of two things that we to get cardio help, and then calorie output. So calorie output requires sort of sustained effort. That's feedback from health coaches who are just importantly aren't diluting the folk knowledge, but also don't see you as challenging them, and so don't abandon you, or don't abandon them, so, you haven't done exactly what I said, I abandon you. The health people, so I've done that, so what's happened is that I've gone from 94, 92, 91, 90, 89, you know, very, very close, so high, and then which is calorie intake, which is, I don't know, it's good, but I take a bun or a small zero for breakfast, that got me down again. It's taken a while to stop adding sugar to tea, stop eating milk to tea. This again, the sort of knowledge that lactose is a two component sugar, that's 5%. The lactose, you know, you start to work out what's the tendency to stop that. If you're serving it. So eventually that's pushing it down. And so weight loss has involved systematic experimentation, and it's not if someone says you're doing the wrong thing, then they refer to folk, which so-and-so told me, or I believe this, I read this in a magazine. And of course, and then instantly I'm putting on weight, I can't do anything. And I just sort of say, well, the one thing I'm not doing is I'm trying to look at the, I did actually get a wise up, a very simple wise up of calorie control and calorie out, increase your calorie output, reduce your calorie intake. And that was basically it. And four foods. High protein, things to knock calories, carry them down. But eventually you can actually do that. But you can't. There's certain things that you can't push against. And I have this really important, expensive meal. And this came out and it was super size, and I thought, well, I'm going to eat it. But I was able to then not eat the next meal. And it's just, what can I say? I really think folk knowledge is like an imposter myth, and it means that people themselves can't, because it's have an irrational effect, i.e. the ultimate and potent, which is what I'd love to see, is to propagate opposite and say any system is got to propagate itself. The ultimate and potent is to be put in the hands of people who will propagate potent, and this rationalization that you say the idea of potent. Almost the definition of folk knowledge is knowledge which propagates itself through a social network based on social rules. So you conform or you get poorer, and if you never criticize it, you don't say, well, is this what I've been told? It's obviously not working. Is there anything wrong with it? My husband gave my daughter an acid burn with Dettol. Okay, it's not that the husband didn't dilute the Dettol. Didn't do under the five factor of 10. Okay, and this, after a while, it's called the rational. There's other explanations for what could be going on. But the management of that in the folk system expels. And I suppose there's a lot of celebrating folk knowledge. And you can sort of see how what gets through as well. Politics, there's a lot of people butting around. Now, of course, you have to build up parts, or you have to build up to hunker down and execute. So, hunker down and execute documents, websites, equipment, strategies, and just listen. I don't know. Or availability. So it's quite insightful that issues say, oh look, so-and-so said such and such, such. However, their statement, which is folk knowledge, to have an impact to say that my knowledge was incorrect. They had said so and so had written in this stuff, and it was not authentic. And the situation was that this person at the time who did it. Sorry, there was a huge spot in my the actual person in question was dead. So the reason they couldn't have done it is dead. But when I said, oh, I've gone through it, and I realised I can't contradict them because they're both in grief, they're a friend, they're both people. However, the exception doesn't hold up because the person was dead at the time. They couldn't have possibly done it. Isn't that a reasonable thing to know? It's irrelevant. Facts are irrelevant. And this is actually true to folk knowledge. In the dental one, what you need to do is pull up the medical data sheets, which is easy enough to do, and then construct three things of dental, and number them one to three, but have it such that that's a sort of double blind test. Actually, physically test yourself on it. Besides writing to the people and going writing to chemists and trying to build up, but the actual person in question didn't actually conduct a double-blind test because they didn't need to in their viewpoint. Why would I do that? I operate on folk knowledge. Well, because let's take one moment that you didn't. It would be worthwhile. And I got an explosive time once when someone said to me, oh, clean up the water on that table or it will cause water damage to the wood. And I did that. But then, out of sight, I put one of the legs of the wooden table in water and one something else. And to just run the experiment to see what level of exposure would cause the wood to stain. Now, and I got absolutely, how dare you question that folk knowledge? They're so disrespectful. But, you know, I was just not thinking, I was just thinking, oh, this is true. But it does turn out that water does stain wood by encouraging mold growth. There is a method for it. However, it means that, say if you've got a table, a surface, in this case it's a resin surface, and you scrub it, you'll scrub it down eventually and allow water to progress over a long time through cleaning it. However, all that is not, it was just received knowledge. So, is there any good news as well? Big picture, I'm still here. The folk knowledge has been put aside, and I'm still here. And the folk knowledge, I haven't been, you mentioned me, desperately following random folk knowledge, trying to lose weight, and I forget, I suppose I could. One of the things is that you are encouraged to have suffered illnesses, I suppose, like not to, I podcast. Now that's going to go for hours on end because I need to do a thing for hours and costs. But also to get, it is a tough thing to describe a three-dimensional object. That's good effort, good practice to do it. What happened is today I went into just randomly while the family went off to the library, I went into a weaving workshop and there was a free walk-in weaving workshop, me weaving stuff, and but there I saw them videoing with a mobile phone with a gimbal, and the gimbal is the key thing for that. Stabilizes it, allows it to have sort of like a video quality to move around places. It's the key thing to actually lift the quality of your video up with one of these gimbals. And so by not going fully ahead, coming back, I was able to go back and say, oh, this is something I have to access. So there's a strategy to go forward. So let's summarise it. Hopefully in this talk you got to know a little bit about the molecule in general, and you got to look at the different ways they make, the different ways of looking at it. From the folk knowledge to the basic knowledge up to the more sophisticated knowledge, and each level has something which it says, but you can see the beauty of it that you can see, and I suppose the conflict that goes ahead that essentially you do have this burden of education, I suppose. You can, when someone says something, you can say, well, that can't possibly be so, but you can say, I have to step out, but you can't proportionally do it, but you can understand how you do it. Go through there, but the more basic thing of understanding how electrons move within molecules, and understanding three grades of acid and base, and how we come to it. It's a very beautiful historic story in terms of that. Language is asset based, scientific knowledge has moved beyond it. And so it sort of seems to be that people can look at language, folk knowledge, and have a parity of understanding as the carbon fiber. So that's one answer to it. And then you've got the maths. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.